Moncrief on News Talk.
It's only now that a bill will appear before the Dáil that seeks to undo historic convictions of gay men. It's not even known how many men were convicted, only that the number is in the hundreds. The Disregard of Historic Offences for Consensual Sexual Activity Between Men Bill, that's a mouthful, was introduced by Sinn Féin's Angus O'Snoddy yesterday. But at this late stage, does it matter anymore? Tony Walsh is founding editor of Gay Community News. Afternoon, Tony.
Hi, Sean. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to speak to you again. Is it any idea of how many men were convicted under the old regime?
It's been difficult to actually parse the numbers, Sean, because there would have been a time where many paper records were lost or destroyed, unfortunately. The Department of Justice and the Garda Síochána had to sift through records, surviving records of convictions, and separate those convictions for consensual sexual behaviour from cases of sexual assault, for example. But you know what? It's never too late. It's the Disregard Bill is really welcome. It's come on the back of an almost 10-year-long process, following a final report by the Department of Justice in 2023. And, you know, it's whatever about its practical application, and there are many benefits to how it plays out in terms of the lives of surviving men who were sent to prison. It's hugely symbolic as well in terms of the signal it sends out about Ireland's capacity for compassion and an acknowledgement of the awful destruction that was visited on gay and bisexual men who were sent to prison for nothing more than having consensual sex. Lives were ruined, you know, and it's the disregard scheme in and of itself, it recognizes the shocking hurt and harm that was visited on these men. Many men would have there's such a culture of shame and stigma that would have attached to being imprisoned, and also to something that it's easy to forget, the economic impact on men who, in some cases, right throughout the 20th century and up until the early 90s, when men were still being sent to prison, men who may have been the sole breadwinner of their families, there was huge economic harm done to their families and to themselves as well. Many men would have left the country in search of more to escape that lingering culture of shame and stigma that attached to imprisonment, particularly up to 1993. So trying to track them down is a huge job, but it's never too late to undo that harm and to send a signal that Ireland, Irish society, is a caring and more compassionate society.
I imagine it's a job of work to even track down anyone who might have been prosecuted.
Hugely difficult. And I suspect too, I mean, I'm a 65-year-old gay man, Sean. I grew up, half of my life, I've lived as a criminal. So I can attempt to understand the mindset of men who, and luckily enough, I was never sent to prison, but I did all constantly live my life under the threat of imprisonment. And also to the impact of criminality, I gave a license to more bigoted elements in Irish society to harm me. There was always a risk that because I was considered a criminal and a social outcast, that I would be beaten up or murdered, as some people, indeed some of my friends, were in the 70s and 80s. But I do that. The fact that I've lived half my life as a criminal also allowed me to get inside the head of some men who did end up going to prison, and I'm able to sort of second guess the difficulty they would have in coming forward. I think that's going to be an enormous task, for tracking them down and then encourage him to go and seek that restorative justice. It also, too, the process reminds me of what happened in Germany in the early 90s, where the West German government, decades after the Second World War finished, finally under a campaign of shame from other countries, finally acknowledged the place that gay men found themselves in, gay men who'd been incarcerated by the Nazis in the concentration camps and had managed to survive it. And they were the last group to be compensated. And they were the last group to be compensated, not in a way not unlike what's happening in Ireland, because society hadn't woken up. Society hadn't discovered its core of compassion and empathy and sensitivity to lives that were destroyed. And I think it's terrific news that this is finally happening in Ireland.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned, probably many men who were sent to prison and then afterwards left the country. But I suppose there's still their families, as you alluded to there, and particularly at the time, it was in Ireland in which if they'd been sent to prison for tax evasion, that was kind of almost respectable compared to what they were sent to prison for. And they probably have lived with that for decades.
Indeed. And on the 25th anniversary of the repeal of that nasty, petty British Victorian legislation, there was a very moving ceremony in Dublin Castle, and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar offered a full state apology to men who'd been imprisoned. I thought it was very significant that he also extended that apology to the families of the men. And that's something we really need to take on board with us. Try to imagine the impact of imprisonment on the families of those men. Lives were ruined. People would have been afraid, apart from the stigma and shame of being sent to prison and that economic impact I mentioned earlier. People would have been reluctant to talk about it. Mm. So I think that we're giving people a license to, by acknowledging the hurt and damage that was done to those men and extended to their families, we're giving people a license we're giving people a license to understand that we live in a different time and place, a different country today.
Yeah.
That's hugely important.
Now, you did mention they obviously had to sort through the convictions to what was consensual and what was assault. Does that only in part, though, explain why this has taken such a long time?
Yes, it's an enormous job. And the Garda Síochána even acknowledged this. When Sinn Féin, when there was a cross-party bill proposed back in 2016, even at that stage, so almost 10 years ago, there was an acknowledgement by the Gardaí that there was an enormous task ahead of them in terms of sifting through those records. And as I said, they also acknowledged that some records may have been lost or destroyed along the way.
Yeah.
We're talking about a period from both 1885. The 1885 law would have criminalised any form of intimacy between men in public or in private. I mean, it was ended up being called the Blackmailer's Charter. It would have been the same sense Oscar Wilde to prison in the late 19th century and ruins his life. And it would have been responsible to, I also think, to this process of expunging criminal convictions is wider. The process is wider than just simply acknowledging the harm that was done to men who were imprisoned and giving a fulsome apology and some measure of restitution of justice, but also in terms of symbolism, also acknowledging the plight of countless thousands of men and indeed women who weren't specifically targeted and didn't end up in prison, but given the corrosive impact of the legislation, left this country right throughout the 20th century up until 1993, left the country in search of more socially liberal environments. And often too, when we look back on that British legislation, it's incumbent on us to remember the invisible corrosive impact of the legislation. It wasn't just that men were sent to prison for nothing more than consensual sex, but it impacted hugely on the lives of other men and women.
Mm, indeed. You mentioned restorative justice, Tony. What might mm-hmm. that look like?
Well, I can't second guess that because I haven't been involved in the working party that actually produced the disregard scheme. But I think, first of all, it's about we've had the apology. We need to expunge the records. And there is talk of, we need to expunge the convictions, but there is talk of actually maintaining a record of those convictions for future archivists and historians, that actually wiping the slate clean completely in terms of having a record is not the way to go, that we need to remember that this harm was done. So the National Archives would maintain a record of the convictions, but the convictions themselves will be fully expunged. And I think then it's... I can't second guess what the government may do if there's some financial compensation in the offing. But I think what most people, and we saw this with cases of sexual abuse in the religious system, the first thing that most people want is an understanding and recognition of the harm that was visited on them by a cruel system. And sometimes that's enough for people.
Mm, indeed. It is a Sinn Féin bill, though it seems to have wide support among the opposition parties, at least. So is it your sense that it's got a good chance of passing, or what's the government's attitude towards that?
Yes, I do think it's got a huge chance of passing. The work has been done. As I said, the Department of Justice issued a really comprehensive report 2 years ago that has cross-party buy-in. So, yes, I can see this flying. And, you know, where we are at a stage, I mean, Ireland as a society is growing up. It really is. We are unpicking a lot of the systemic damage that was done to marginalized communities in our society. It's never too late to actually acknowledge that and then find a way of acknowledging the harm that was done and find a way of allowing to live the rest of their lives with some dignity.
Tony, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Tony Walsh there, one of the founding editors of Gay Community News. One texter wonders, would those convictions not have curbed people's ability to go abroad? I imagine, we're talking decades ago. You could probably go and get a job in London and just maybe not mention you'd been in prison, and they probably wouldn't have thought to check, even if they could. Somebody else wonders, are the gay people who were sent to prison adversely affected with Garda vetting? Don't know the answer to that question, but I'd imagine, and we are talking about more than 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, longer than that, in fact, in the days where there wasn't Garda vetting. Presumably those people would have had difficulty getting jobs due to those convictions and the stigma attached to homosexuality in general. No, well, absolutely. Another texter says, as someone who was born in the 90s, I find it so bizarre that this was ever a crime. I understand that there is a prejudice out there, but it's incredible that a state would be legislating against a practice that is consensually undertaken by both parties. What were they thinking? Hey, in the past, people had all sorts of very strange prejudices and still do to a certain extent or another. And I suppose, not that we shouldn't fix things, but we can't necessarily judge the past by the general standards we have today. And someone else says, this is such an encouraging move when we look abroad and see other countries like Hungary going the other way. It makes me really proud of Ireland. Indeed. And this will probably, no doubt, and if it has a fairly smooth progress through the Dáil and, becomes legislation, then it will be reported all over the world.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.